Welcome to the Risk and Repeat podcast, episode number 180. I'm Rob Wright, Security News Director at TechTarget, and I am here with my security news writer, Alex Kalafi. Alex, welcome.
Thanks, Rob.
How are you doing, Alex?
I'm good. Just got through the most work it took piece of anything I've done at TechTarget at this point.
Yes. How does the saying go? We need to talk about Apple, Alex.
Yeah, we need to talk about Apple, huh?
Yes. So you wrote an extensive article that published for Search Security last Friday. We're recording this on the 21st, Thursday. And it's about Apple's struggles with security researchers and sort of the frustrations with the bug bounty program, the Apple Security Bounty Program, ASB. Mm-hmm. ASB, I'm doing that right.
Yep.
Right? Okay.
Yep.
To set the stage, I guess, for this discussion, we should say that Apple's had they've had sort of up and down reputation in this area for a few years. They first introduced their pilot bug bounty program back in 2016, I think, at Black Hat. And I say pilot, I mean, it was an invite only, a private bug bounty program, or sort of pseudo private. They said anybody could submit reports, but they would only, I guess, acknowledge or accept reports from certain people, but they would, based on the reporting to this program, they might invite you. So it was a little strange at the time. Fast forward a few years later, they announced that they're expanding it to a full-fledged public bug bounty, iOS, macOS, etc. $1 million bounties. I think at the time, some of, if not the biggest, rewards for vulnerability reporting in the market among mm-hmm. top vendors. And that was in 2019. Now we're in 2021. And you found that there's some frustrations with this vendor and the way things were going. Why don't we start with, I guess, the what you found, sort of recent history? Because you found a lot in your article, Apple, about Apple, and there's a lot to unpack about what's been going on with this vendor mm-hmm. and how people feel about them.
Yep. So I would say it's the genesis, but this has kind of been going on, I'd say, this year, going back into last year to some extent. Apple Security Bounty has had some issues with researchers for various reasons. The main one is communication issues. Mm-hmm. Not talking to being communicative with researchers unless they're the ones reaching out for something. Sometimes some researchers have had issues with getting acknowledged by Apple. Some have had their bugs patched but them not acknowledged, or their bug bounties not recognized as payable bug bounties despite being given CVEs for them. A number of things. And when what kind of motivated this piece was, there's a researcher, Denis Tokarev, who goes by the handle Illusion of Chaos. Mm-hmm. He published a blog on Habber, two blogs about Apple, but one more relevant to what we're talking about today, where he was disclosing three apparent, alleged, probable, maybe zero-day iOS vulnerabilities, along with a pretty detailed critique of Apple Security Bounty. But his is not the first criticism of this. No. Washington Post put out a giant article a few weeks ago. Other people have publicly posted Apple vulnerabilities. In fact, I think Pwn2Own 15 years ago or whatever was in part started due to researcher frustrations with Apple, if I remember that right.
I think that's correct. Yeah.
Anyways, so then I saw this and I'm like, wow, there's definitely something here. I wonder what other people have to say. So, which is really how every article starts by anyone ever, is I wonder what people are saying about this. So I saw in his article, he linked to some helpful folks. I went to Twitter and then I'm like, okay, let's see if we can make an article out of this. So I reached out to him, who gave me a lot of helpful feedback, and I reached out to a smattering of researchers. Some pretty vocal researchers on Twitter who have pretty established audiences. A good number of them, I went into the Apple security updates and just like found credited researchers, because I wanted to find people who also had complete bug bounty experiences with Apple too. Of course, because I don't want to just get, I just don't want to make it a smack talk piece necessarily.
Right.
And so I talked to them, got a lot of helpful feedback, but then I'm like, I'm just a reporter. I want to learn more about bug bounty programs. So I reached out to HackerOne and BugCrowd and ZDI and got some feedback, which some of it ended up in this article. Some of it's going to end up in future articles. And the sort of overall picture was, people are mad for the reasons I stated, right? The acknowledgement, the communication issues, security researchers feeling that they aren't appreciated and necessarily respected and acknowledged the way they should be, which who knows if this stuff is true, but there's a lot of feedback in the story that I think paints a fairly consistent picture, at least in my viewpoint, of what folks are saying. Like, it's like it, with this kind of thing, there is a little bit of he said, she said, just as a natural sort of occurrence of this kind of thing.
Sure. It's you can't confirm sort of every correspondence, and you know, you can only go by what the, you know, like when Togarev puts out a timeline for when he disclosed, when, you know, when he sent emails and when he got a response, or if he didn't get a response, you kind of have to take that, you know, I guess at face value, because they're not going to show you every correspondence. I mean, some researchers did show you some of their exchanges, but, and I've had the same thing happen with these sort of, contested issues with bug bounties, and did you really report it? We don't have a report. We're not sure what you're talking about. And then the researcher says, well, I have receipts, as they say in the business, you know, like I have, so, you know, some of it was some of it you can confirm, and you can see some of these guys, you know, they post their exploits, and they're later verified by other third parties, other Apple researchers. But yeah, no, I get your point.
Yeah, so it wasn't necessarily Apple did these things. It was more about, hey, these researchers have these frustrations. There's a lot of consistency in the stories they're telling me.
Yep.
And because of these frustrations, we have people who don't seem like Black Hat or bad actors making decisions to publicly disclose vulnerabilities and in some cases exploits just because they're frustrated and want to put some attention on it. Like in the story, Tokarev basically said, he's like, I don't know if I would ever sell vulnerabilities to a third party other than Apple. Like, I haven't made money on this before, but I'm not going to sell to any kind of unreputable entities, he said.
Yep. Yeah.
Which I think colors the story quite a bit. And some people, some researchers who I won't necessarily call out directly, but are affiliated with companies, we're just like, zero-day brokers or another third party like a bug bounty program like ZDI absolutely would consider doing that in the future, probably in part based on those Apple experiences.
Yeah, and I'm going to do this repeatedly. I'm just going to encourage the listeners right now to read Alex's article. It's very extensive. There's a lot of people in there, almost the entire slew of researchers and bug hunters that you talk to are on the record with this stuff. So you're right that the frustration with Apple, this is this sort of, you know, Apple isn't doing right by the InfoSec research community. It's not a new story, but the one thing that that really stood out to me, and we've talked about this sort of in the run up to the publication in the article, was that this felt a little different. The last few months, it just felt like there is a certain number of people that, like, we've seen venting about this and that have vented to you directly, mm-hmm. that are saying that they're done with this. This is the last straw, and that they're considering extreme options. And now normally, you know, maybe 5 years ago, somebody saying, I'm going to sell to a 0-day broker, or I'm going to sell to someone that, you know, maybe loosely affiliated with the surveillance state, or, you know, semi-friendly foreign governments, wouldn't have been that big a deal. You know, mm-hmm. it would have just sort of been like, oh, you know, this vendor is working with a company that's, you know, maybe a contractor or defense contractor for the U.S. government, and they need an exploit to break into some, like, suspected terrorist phone. You know, whatever. Today, it's a little different. And it's not just because of NSO Group, but it largely is, you know, because of that company and just the scandal around that vendor ever since the murder of Washington Post columnist and Saudi Arabian activist Jamal Khashoggi. And I like to have people saying that they're considering selling, you know, maybe a high value exploit for Apple to a 0-day broker in this climate did strike me as a little as interesting as maybe a little surprising too, because I think by and large, and I think you probably agree, Alex, when stuff about, like, the surveillance state or these sort of, you know, quote unquote cyber weapons offensive hacking companies comes out, especially with NSO Group, there's a lot of, I guess, pushback, a lot of concern, at least from people in the InfoSec community, about these types of, like, spyware companies or cyber weapons companies, and just sort of what it can lead to. But it's like these people have been pushed past that point. You know, they've been pushed to the brink, and that they are considering that option just because of the sheer amount of money that's involved. And I thought that was really interesting, and it put a different twist on this story, which, again, we've seen in the past. You know, there are definitely cycles and ups and downs with any vendor program when it comes to bug bounties and vulnerability reporting and vulnerability disclosure. Everybody goes through ups and downs. Apple goes through them a little bit, maybe more often, and maybe higher peaks and lower valleys, but it really made this one stand out. The way that people felt about Apple and what they were willing to do to be recognized for their research or compensated for their research. So definitely something that stood out in terms of sort of past stories about what's been going on with Apple's bug bounties.
I'm not a researcher myself, but one thing I felt in the reporting for this piece was that it's a complicated issue. I mean, 0 days being sold to governments to spy on dissidents, that's not necessarily a great issue. But the circumstances that researchers Yep. find themselves in is more of a morally gray issue. Because let's take Zerodium, right? Someone who has been accused, attached, associated with some of this stuff, people have said, allegedly. But the researcher doesn't know who exactly is paying for the 0 day they found.
Sure. Yep.
When they submit it, or maybe even after the fact, or ever. They're just a place where they will get paid a lot of money and appreciated for a lot of work they put in, is what I think the perspective is. And I don't necessarily think that everyone who submits to a zero-day broker is necessarily some nihilist or someone who doesn't care about what happens to their vulnerability. Sure. But I think that not having that visibility or not making that decision kind of does create a separation. And I don't think these are people who are like, are necessarily bad actors. It's just they're frustrated enough that they end up going this morally gray route in some cases, or maybe they don't and they decide not to. But it seems like it is a consideration, and it's complicated, as we said with the Dennis stuff, where he doesn't want to sell to bad actors, but he did drop some vulnerabilities. It's a messy topic. It's an interesting topic, but it's a messy topic.
Yeah, and before we get to Apple, I'll just say, you know, if you find a high, like a critical no click, 0 day that could be really devastating in the wrong hands, you know, if you post it online, you know, there are many arguments for and against that, but like if you're totally ignored by the vendor, and you know that exploit is only going to stay sort of secret for so long, if it even is secret, if you've even been the first person to really discover it, you know, posting it online, there's pros to that, in the sense that if it's online and it gets attention, it is going to light a fire under that vendor to get it patched immediately. That's a big reason why a lot of folks out there, and prominent folks too, in the research community, think the whole 90-day, you know, responsible disclosure grace period is a bunch of BS.
Mm-hmm.
And they think that, like, you know, it should just be done away with, or at least modified in some capacity, because if you don't hear anything from the vendor, you know, how else are you going to get them to patch it if you don't sort of publicly drop it? Same for the people that find a pretty serious exploit or a vulnerability and develop an exploit and get ignored and say, well, I've spent, you know, months and months on this. I've got to earn a living. I could go to this 0 day broker. I know they have affiliations with government agencies, but look, you know, how do I know that this isn't going to be something that, you know, the NSA is going to use in the fight against ISIS?
Mm-hmm.
I'm only sort of half joking with that, but to your point, you don't know, like you don't know what, where that's going to end up, who the highest bidder for that exploit is going to be. And you're taking a gamble. So it puts the researcher in a difficult position, because let's say you trace an exploit back, and you know, something like this has come out in reporting, recently. And the name of the company escapes me, but they were involved in the United Arab Emirates, you know, the hacking group, project that was revealed. And one of the guys, I think the CIO, the executive at, ExpressVPN was revealed to be involved in this project, which a number of places like The Intercept and I believe Reuters had written about over the years. And, you know, this hacking group, the secret hacking group, nation state hacking group, that had been run out of the United Arab Emirates government, had bought an exploit years ago. It was 2013, I think. Like, you don't know what they're going to be. They could say we're using that to fight terrorism, and you may think nothing of it. And then lo and behold, you find out it's being used to target protesters or dissidents or God knows what. Obviously, the Khashoggi case is an extreme example of something like this going awry. But I guess it's something that you, like, if you're a researcher, you would have to keep in mind if you're going to roll the dice. So.
Right. And I want to be fair here and say that I'm not saying that it's these poor little researchers. they're making an active decision in whatever they do. Their decisions are their responsibility. They don't need me to finger wag or not finger wag in any case. Some people, I'm sure, are like, this is what gives me the most money. Sell it to whatever government you want. People who are a little less likable in a little less complicated situation.
Yep.
I'm sure there's a whole rainbow of people out there. It's just sort of the situation's complicated, is I guess the overall point.
Yeah. So let's turn our attention to Apple here.
Yes.
Based on your feedback and mm-hmm. the people that you've talked to, I know what people have said, what people have told me over the years about Apple and Apple's, you know, relationship with the researcher community and their bug bounty endeavors, their vulnerability reporting, et cetera, et cetera. But I'm curious, like, what based on the feedback that you got, what do you think happened here? What's gone wrong? Why are we in this place? From, like, what has Apple done to sort of bring us here?
The short answer is I don't know. But I will say what someone else told me.
Yes.
I do not have any internal sources at Apple as much as I'd like to have them. But Katie from Luda Security, Katie Mazuris,
yeah.
Mazuris, founder and CEO of Luda Security, a pioneer in the vulnerability research and disclosure space. She was a key factor in the founding of Microsoft's bug bounty program.
Mm-hmm.
She's been doing stuff like this, and at least vulnerability research, for I think going on 2 decades now.
Yeah.
So pretty much the perfect person to talk to.
Mm-hmm.
For this. To paraphrase, she was talking about Apple, when they went public in 2019, they came out with really high security bounties. And she said that she actually saw that as a kind of red flag. And I'm mm-hmm. definitely paraphrasing here
mm-hmm.
Because she thought it kind of felt like they thought if they threw enough money at researchers, it would solve the problem.
Right.
But she felt that Apple's situation, and I think a quote related to what she was telling me ended up in the article,
yep.
was that they didn't necessarily focus on the outreach, the human connection, treating researchers as people who do deserve communication and respect and whatever, which I'm also sort of adding some other stuff onto that. But she was basically saying there was a sort of a human connection problem with Apple and an outreach
yes.
problem.
Yes.
And I think maybe they haven't put enough resources to this. Maybe they're not. I'm sure they take security very seriously. They probably have one of the biggest security organizations in the world, but maybe they haven't put as much work into that specific part.
Yeah.
Is kind of, and I don't know exactly what internal sources she would have at Apple either. I'm sure she knows some people somewhere, but or maybe, but that was kind of my read. And I thought her words about maybe focusing on outreach and the human connection with researchers, the lack thereof might be a core problem for them.
Yeah. I think there's definitely something to that. I mean, I've talked with guys at, you know, BugCrowd, HackerOne, different vendors that have run different bug bounty programs. And one thing that keeps coming up again and again is the importance of knowing how to interact with the people that are reporting these bugs.
Mm-hmm.
And understanding that they don't want to be ignored. They want to be treated with respect, and you can't just sort of shrug them off. And I don't mean like ignore them. I mean, like when they have serious concerns about how you're characterizing a vulnerability or how they're prioritizing it or whatever. It just, if you take a sort of a dismissive tone or your communication is sort of limited and just sort of sporadic, it just really leaves a bad taste in the mouths of the researchers out there, especially when it's a critical vulnerability. So I think Katie's definitely right on that being a factor, but let me pose something a little different, Alex.
Okay. You have to understand, as I wrote the article, I'm not going to go strong opinion myself on much of this stuff.
No. But so we've talked about this offline.
Yeah.
But Apple's statement to you.
Yeah. We should talk about that.
To me, was very important.
Mm-hmm. I think everything, starting from me sending that email into after releasing the article,
yes,
there's been a bunch of noteworthy stuff that's happened.
Yes, and we're definitely gonna talk about the aftermath. But I'll just read the statement and I'll kind of give you my spiel. So it's in the article, but an Apple spokesperson responded to your request for comment and mm-hmm. sort of, you know, you gave them sort of the gist of what you had been getting reporting wise. Quote, Apple Security Bounty publicly launched in 2019 with the largest payouts ever offered in the industry, including the world's first $1 million bounty. I believe that's true. That was me talking, by the way, not Apple. Quote, since then, Apple Security Bounty has grown the total rewards paid to researchers faster than any other program in the industry's history. End quote. I have no idea if that's true. I don't know how they would know if that's true. You asked them how they knew that that was true, and I don't think they got back to you. Okay.
I did not get a response. And if it was buried in my email somewhere, which I looked, they would have followed up if I did not include that in the story, and they did not.
Yeah. Okay. So the statement continues. Quote, we've already paid out millions of dollars this year and issued nearly double the number of researcher rewards compared to all of 2020, all while leading the industry in average payouts. Sidebar, again, no idea if this is true. Ask for verification or other documentation that would back this up. You did not get any.
Nope.
Quote, we are working hard to scale the program during its dramatic growth, and we will continue to offer top rewards to security researchers working with us side by side to protect our users and their data on more than 1 billion Apple devices around the world, end quote. Okay. So first of all, I think that statement is important, as I've noted previously, because I think that is as close to an admission that you're going to get from Apple on something like this, on a controversial topic. So that's important. The fact that they didn't ask for like specifics about, or didn't address specifics about, you know, for, you know, the specific researchers or CVEs or vulnerability reports, or when did they report this? They didn't ask any of that.
Mm-mm.
Second of all, I know that this stuff is hard, and I'm not going to sit here and overreact to, you know, like the peaks and valleys I was talking about before. A little peak, a little valley. I'm, you know, vulnerability reporting, vulnerability disclosure, bug bounties, paying out the rewards. This is complex stuff. I get that. And I'm not, you know, going to jump down anyone's throat over a little trouble here and there.
And it's not an Apple only thing.
And it's not this is by far not an Apple only thing. This goes on at a lot of vendors.
Yep. One of the researchers has also openly talked about negative experiences with another bug bounty program too.
There've been a few of the comments you've gotten like that about many vendors. Well, another story, another podcast for another time. But yeah, no, you're right. It happens. It does. It absolutely happens. Here are my issues. You have $200 billion in cash on hand. You are Apple. I don't want to hear about how you're having trouble keeping up with the dramatic growth of this program. You launched it in 2016. You went public with it and you opened it up in 2019. You should know by now how many bug reports you are going to be getting, or approximately. You should know how many people out there are digging into your mobile OS. You should know, you should expect the volume that you're getting. Mm-hmm. And if you can't keep up with that, man, you got to hire more people. You got to start through. I hate resorting to you should throw more money at it. I hate saying that. But in this case, you should throw more money at it. Not the rewards. Not the rewards. I'm not talking about that. And I think it's very telling that that's the first place that Apple went to in this statement. Look at us. We, just like Katie Mazura said, we paid out the first 1 million bounty. We've paid out, look how much we've paid out. It's not about what you pay out. It's about how many vulnerabilities you are getting submitted to you, that you can handle, that you can patch without pulling the silent patch BS, that you're not sitting on in the background. Who knows how many you're sitting on? If they can't handle that, that's inexcusable. There's no reason that they can't, or at least do a better job. I know that, like I said, peaks and valleys, there's always going to be trouble with this stuff. There's always going to be some people who feel like they're not getting their fair shake, not getting their just rewards, that a bug report is taking too long. This happens with every company, but it consistently happens here. Mm-hmm. And I do not accept that excuse from Apple that, well, they're just getting, you know, look at all this money we're paying out, but yeah, we, you know, it's tough scaling, you know, hard knock life out there. Mm-hmm. When you're this popular. No, I don't accept that. You got $200 million in the bank. You got smart people. Scale it up. You knew this was coming. You've watched it unfold for 5+ years. This is not an excuse. I do not accept it. That's me. Okay. I don't know why they have not scaled it out more. I'm not going to be one of these people. Like, I know that certain researchers, you can read the feedback from your story and, you know, other people weighing in on this. A lot of people come back to this and say, well, this is just at the height of Apple arrogance. They just think that they can do whatever they do and not have to, you know, not have to answer to anybody. And they're just going to do things the way that they want to do them. And they're not going to let public pressure get to them. I don't know that that's it. I don't know that this is born of arrogance. I think it's more likely that it's born of ignorance, that they really like, they may not know or appreciate how upset this is making people and how mm-hmm. many 0 days are out there being sold to 0 day brokers. I mean, how many 0 days have been disclosed, dropped this year? A lot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I don't think they want that. I do, like, to your point, I do think they care. I mean,
well, yeah, they're doing hiring for a new manager, right? Or director. Of those two words, but yeah. For their bug bounty program. So I think they're, the fact that one, no PR came after me with like a technicality filled email with we didn't agree with the tone of what you said is big. Yeah. Two, they're doing this hiring. Three, we didn't even mention the fact that Dennis got acknowledged for one of his vulnerabilities mere hours after I sent that email to them, which who knows what, if that was just a coincidence or not, but it is interesting. Like, well, I think there are signs that they're putting an effort. Go ahead.
I will say that I think that is, I won't say it's definitely a result of you sending an email to them and asking and telling them what you wanted comment for and what the story was about. But I will say that it is very likely that's the thing. They knew how much heat was out there about Tokarev's vulnerabilities and him being ignored. Like they were not strangers to him. They knew who he was. And when they saw that you wanted, you were writing a story and, you know, asking for comments about this type of situation and these types of scenarios, you know, maybe that did sort of say, now we should finally give this guy credit. Maybe we should, you know, send an email to him and finally respond. I don't know why the article would change things for Apple. Because so many people were upset about the way that he was treated, and he was very public about his experiences. But there you have it. It was a strange coincidence that I don't think was an entirely a coincidence.
Right, but I guess my much smaller point is that there's evidence that Apple is hearing stuff.
Sure.
And may well respond to it in time based on the stuff I was saying. I know we are probably wrapping things up, but there's one last kind of small, interesting thing I kind of want to talk about related to this.
Go.
So we're talking about Apple. We're talking about researcher recognition. We're talking about people talking about dropping or selling 0 days. A fairly controversial topic, to be sure.
Mm-hmm.
And an article that I was excited to put out, but I expected some heat would come from somewhere.
Yeah.
So on and so forth. And what's been very interesting is I've been reading a lot of the feedback that's come out from out of the piece. I mean, a lot of people have looked at the article by this point. There's a 300, 400 comment Reddit thread. A bunch of blue check Twitter people retweeted it, and there were long threads in there. Various other tweets at me, and so on and so forth. There's been no factual disagreements or no, I don't want to say no, but like no significant criticism of the sort of points put forth
in
the article whatsoever.
Like, no denial and no sort of quibbling or like you said, this is mischaracterizes blah blah blah. If anything, it seems like some of the feedback, like maybe people feel that there's more people out there that feel this way than at least I had anticipated. It's interesting, the response to it. And again, you know, Apple's comment on the matter, you know, been in tech journalism now 2 decades, and I think that's as close as you're going to get to a my bad from Apple. We'll see what happens with the changes to the program, if they make significant changes or if people start to notice things improving. I don't know.
Yeah, but I think that provides a decent summary of where things are at the moment. Going to be doing a follow-up about the overall bug bounty landscape, kind of more of a featurey thing next couple weeks. So
yes, excited for that one.
That'll be good. Yeah, me too.
Well, Alex, I thank you for, number one, thank you for doing the story.
You bet.
Reporting on that one.
Thank you very much.
And thank you for chatting with me about the article and all things Apple, bug bounty, ASP, controversy, frustration, 0 day paranoia. It was a good discussion, and I appreciate it as always.
Of course.
And thank you to the readers and listeners of Circ Security. I'm Rob Wright, and we will see you next time.